All right. Good morning, everyone. It's so great to be here. So beautiful out, isn't it? Man, I was expecting it to be like 100 degrees, but it's not so bad. But I'm very encouraged to speak to you all this morning. My name is John Novak. I serve as a full-time intern for our campus ministry here in New Jersey.
Well,
Yeah, good. But I'm excited this morning because my best friend and his wife are here visiting from PA too. So super encouraging that you guys are here. Also, just a heads up, this morning when I was brushing my teeth, my dog just came bursting through the door and it scared me really bad. And so I made a crick in my neck. So if I'm preaching stiff, just that's why.
No, that dog. Yeah, bro.
But I'm excited to continue your theme today of how God's church is a garden over a factory. And I love that theme. I'm going to speak into that today. But I wanted to start with this morning with just a fun fact I found while getting distracted writing the sermon. Have you ever realized that the first thing that you see when you walk into a grocery store is always the produce section?
Yeah,
And now that you're thinking about it, it's true, isn't it?
yeah.
And I looked up why, and it said that it's the first thing you see because it sets a tone of freshness and color, and it's the first thing people notice. And we know that the Bible says that as people, we also have fruits, that we also have a produce section. And Luke 6, 43, 44, it says that we also are recognized by our fruits. Your produce, right? And don't we all want to be people who produce good fruit, right? People who produce great things with our life. Recently I moved in with my older brother and my two nephews, and Bradley and Tyler. They want to be. They just have such crazy visions about their future. They want to be professional video game gamers and professional basketball players. One time Tyler was like, Michael Jordan is the best, and then Dad, and then me, and then Uncle John. And one day I'll be better than Michael Jordan. But every week they change their minds regarding what they want to do with their future. But the one thing that remains unchanging is that it's going to be epic, right? It's going to be something awesome. It's going to be the best in the world at something. They imagine a glorifying future for themselves where they produce something amazing with their life. And generally, we want to be people who live an exciting life, right? There's a dream to be known, and there's a desire to do something remarkable. We were born with a desire to produce something amazing with our life. But inevitably, through upsets and setbacks and discouragements, our dreams of producing something amazing are replaced with doing something more realistic or something more practical. And as their uncle, I feel acutely responsible to remind them that with God behind them, that they could produce anything with their life. God, as the amazing father he is inviting you today not to live an ordinary life, but instead to produce an amazing impact on the people and the world around you. And so, will you answer the call? Will you partner with God this morning? And so, we all want to produce something great with our life, but the question is, well, how do we do that? Right? How do we do that? How do we produce something awesome? The world will tell you, focus on yourself, right? Focus on your career, right? Get the next promotion. Set yourself up for the future. Set up a good retirement plan. I just graduated college, so I'm hearing that a lot. But this morning we're looking at Jesus's way to produce greatness in your life. We're looking at Jesus's upside down view on how to make a lasting impact in the world and what we must do if we're going to reap a harvest of 100 times what was sown. The title of my message this morning is The Amazing Paradox. We're talking about the amazing paradox that Jesus sets forth for us if we're going to produce something great for the kingdom of God. I have 2 points this morning, and the first one is unless the seed falls. You can turn over to John 12, verse 20 through 26. And this is Jesus' upside-down view on how to make the most of your life. Verse 20 says, "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at a festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. 'Sir,' they said, 'we would like to see Jesus.' Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. And Jesus replied, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." You know, what an amazing series of phrases that Jesus puts forth before these people. You know, but basically what happens is, you know, some Greeks come to Jerusalem to see Jesus. And, you know, oftentimes Greeks in the Bible were known as just seekers. They were looking for the truth. They were looking for something. And so they go to Jesus's guys, and, you know, Jesus would never turn down a seeker. So they're put before Jesus, but Jesus responds in a very curious way. Right? His response would come as a shock to those who heard it for the first time. And then he would leave them with a series of sayings that were hard-hitting and memorable. He gives them this amazing paradox. In a paradox is a figure of speech that seems contradictory, but when you think about it, it makes sense. Right? So some common ones, right? The more you learn, the more you realize how little you know. Right? Contradictory, but it makes sense. The more you try to impress people, the less impressed they'll be. Pretty good. If you love someone, let them go. I don't know who needed to hear that this morning. But, you know, in order to get a good resume, you need a good job. But to get a good job, you need a good resume. It's contradictory, but it makes sense. Right? And then there's this one that we find in Scripture that Jesus puts forth. It says, "The grain of wheat was ineffective and unfruitful as long as it was preserved and stayed as it was in safety and security. But when it was thrown on the ground and buried, that's when it bore fruit." He goes on to say, "Unless the kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed." Right? He says, unless, right? There's two options here, right? Either the seed stays alive or it dies, right? And I think, you know, we either keep our life to try to preserve it or we lose it, right? Those are the options here. But the paradox is that if we do want to keep our life, we have to give it. If we want to keep our life, we have to give it. In verse 25 in the Passion Translation, it says, "The person who loves his life and pampers himself will miss true life. But the one who detaches his life from this world and abandons himself to me will find true life and enjoy it forever." But Jesus says the real way to retain your life is to spend it. Contradictory, but it makes sense. It's to spend it on sacrifice and abandoning yourself to the service of Jesus. And in essence, Jesus is teaching here that it's only by death comes life. And only by spending life do we retain it. And only by service comes greatness. And that's the amazing paradox. And honestly, perhaps the most amazing thing about the paradox is that when you think about it, it's just the simple truth of common sense. It's just simple. You know, the reason why you plant a seed is so that it dies and that it multiplies. Right? You plant a seed and then you expect it to start growing. The truth is, you could be a Christian but still remain a single seed. And if we're not careful, we could do all the right things, but still miss the blessings. You know, for about a year, I worked on a farm in my hometown that grew many different vegetables. And it was probably my least favorite job. But, you know, the once the job for the day was literally just putting seeds in the ground, you know. And so I was going down the rows, and the farmer, the guy I was working for, he was like, don't just put one seed in the ground, put three in each hole. Right? And the reason, I'm sure if you're into gardening, you know this already, but, you know, most of the time what would happen is out of the three, only one of the seeds would grow and produce anything. So if you walk away, don't take anything from this message. At least you have a gardening tip. But only the one that died would grow and produce vegetables for Mr. Christie. You know, but Jesus tells us here in the scripture that what we have to do if we're going to see fruit on the other side. He says it straight up. Hey, if you want to see fruit, fall to the ground and die. And that's intense. You know, falling to the ground and dying is intense. I feel better saying, hey, try your best and pray for the rest, right? And, you know, maybe try to take your sin more seriously. But many times in the Bible, we see scriptures like Colossians 3:5 that says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he bore our sins on his body so we might die to sin and live for righteousness, right? And the scripture that Darius shared, right? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice for God. Amen. Commentator Max Anders wrote that God calls for complete extermination, not careful regulation. You know, if you were in bed and you saw just a massive bug crawl across your sheets, right? You're not going to just watch it, right? You're not going to regulate, make sure that it stays in one spot. You're going to kill that thing, I hope. Right, you're not playing games with that. But, you know, in Genesis, Abraham took his son Isaac to a mountain to sacrifice to God. God stopped it from happening, but God needed to know, hey, is there anything that he wouldn't do for me? Is there anything that he's not willing to do for me? And so here's the question that Jesus wants to know. Are you willing to fall to the ground and die? Before we become a Christian, the Bible teaches that one should count the cost to see if Jesus is Lord, right? To see if you're willing to put your life down for Jesus. And, you know, maybe it's for some of us that was years ago, right? Maybe it's been some time since you asked yourself some of those generic questions that you were once asked, right? Think about if you are still really willing to fall to the ground and die. Falling to the ground and dying means that it's not about you anymore, right? It means that, you know, if it's God's will, and if the closest people to you that were Christians decided to no longer follow Jesus, would you still remain faithful? You know, if God called you to serve as a missionary in a foreign mission field, would you do it? Right now, nobody is probably asking you to do that, but if God is calling you there, you should at least consider it.
Amen.
Are you willing to serve those around you, to love them, and to put their interests above your own? It means that you put to death the selfish ambition and no longer follow the sinful nature that tries to take control. Right? We have to lay it all down at the feet of Jesus and say, everything is yours if we want to truly live. And remember, this is crucial because unless the seed falls, it remains a single seed. And something that I've needed a lot of help with has been putting to death this desire to look good to people. You know, that's my sinful nature and it's pride. And it led me down a road where I had more desire to please people than I was had a desire to please God at one point. In fall of 2022, I was about 3 months old spiritually. I was fired up, ready to do something awesome. And so I set a goal to invite 1,000 people to come out and hear the message of the gospel, to come out to a Bible talk. And, you know, and it was hard work, you know, and I'm walking around with my counter app, you know, keeping track and... But that's, you know, eventually I managed to do it, but what I noticed was that I would go up to people and walk away. And at one time I caught myself. I was like, did I just go up to them to invite them to the kingdom? Or did I just do that to increase my count so I could show people how many people I shared with? Right? And so I noticed these things in my heart that weren't pure. I managed to find some people who were interested, you know, out of these 1,000 people. And some of them began to study the scriptures, but, you know, after a short amount of time, each one of them decided that they didn't want to do it. And so at the end of this first week of school, I saw zero. I saw nobody become a Christian that I was trying to help. And, you know, what happened was I made it about me, right? I wanted to impress the people, and I wanted to get, you know, to look good to people, and wanted to impress my older brother. And but in the end, I didn't produce anything. Even though I planted 1,000 seeds, I remained a single one. And why? Because I wasn't willing to fall to the ground and die. You know, I was more worried about looking good than I was pleasing God. But it was my heart that called me to do that. It was because of what I made it about. And we need to be careful that we don't become the single seed Christian, right? It's so easy to make it about you. You know, evangelism isn't the point of the scripture, and I really just wanted to share that to show you more about just my heart posture that I had and how my heart had not surrendered some sin. You know, but, you know, by the way, this is a big picture lesson. You know, this isn't like one thing to take it away and apply. I'm talking about a lifestyle. You know, I'm talking about a life change and a mindset shift. I'm talking about repentance. You know, this is literally repentance that we're talking about.
Amen.
And but you know, what is God calling you to do that you've been putting off? You know, maybe it's, you know, making a change in a relationship, making a change in your marriage, or, you know, what is God calling you to do? Maybe it's special contribution, where you give a portion of money toward a foreign mission field in Africa and these surrounding places. You know, special contribution is a sacrifice. It takes falling to the ground and dying, right? It takes this, you take this large sum of money and you're like, all right, here you go, right? It's the sacrifice. And, you know, but then you wait until you see how much fruit that produces, right? Then you wait and see what God could do with that. You know, when we think about sacrifice, we tend not to think fondly of that. You know, sacrifice is scary because, right, we want to be sure that what's going to come from the other side is worth it, right? You know, we don't know what's to come sometimes. But that's why faith plays such a big role in sacrifice. Because you need to believe that you're not just sacrificing something for no reason when it comes to God. You need to believe that what you're getting in return, right? It's that song that God keeps his promise.
Yeah, that's what it's doing.
But you need to believe that what's going to come on the other side of sacrifice will be worth it. And I think, you know, sometimes faith is a barometer of sacrifice. And so where your faith is at, there your sacrifice will be also. It's like Abraham, again, when he was about to sacrifice his son Isaac, right? Abraham was commended for his faith, right? He was commended for his faith and what he was willing to do. And oftentimes that you'll see sacrifice and faith are paired together. Mm. You know, if you believe that what's on the other side is true, then every sacrifice with God is worth it. Sacrifice might seem like a risk to you, and it might seem like a risk to sacrifice things and time and energy or money. But let me ask, is it really a risk if it's with God? If what Jesus says in the scripture is true, then every sacrifice is worth it. And we really have nothing to lose, but instead everything to gain. If you were to look at Matthew 13:44, I just wanted to point to this quickly, but it shows that we could actually have joy in sacrifice. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. In his joy, he sold everything he had. Right? How could you be joyful while giving away everything? How could you be joyful while sacrificing this? It's because you know what's going to come on the other side of sacrifice. Right? He could be joyful because he saw with his eyes what would come after the sacrifice. You know, what I'm saying is sometimes when we think of sacrifice and serving, we think of it as a loss. But what if we viewed sacrifice as gain? My second point here is called 100 times what was sown. The other side of sacrifice, right? What is on the other side of sacrifice? You know, when it comes to God, it is always something so much bigger, so much better. You know, in the scripture we looked at today, the second point is based on the second part of this verse where Jesus says, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. If it dies, it produces much fruit. On the other side of sacrifice is much fruit. You know, but what if you were really willing to fall to the ground and die? Which is what the first point was about. Now, what if you were really to do this? What if you were to fall to the ground and die? Well, Jesus says that if it dies, then it multiplies. God says that you would have a multiplying impact, that you would produce something amazing. And this is a theme that we really see throughout Scripture. I mean, before Abraham had Isaac, God told him that his offspring would number the amounts of stars in the sky. Yeah, that's way more than 100 times, right? But what did it take? It took a willingness to sacrifice, right, for him to see this product. And then you also see this idea that sacrifice leads to blessings beyond our comprehension. Jesus hammers down this idea multiple times throughout scriptures. In Mark 10, 29 to 31, he says, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Matthew 13, verse 8, in the context of the parable of the sower, it says, still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced the crop of 100, 60, and 30, or 30 times what was sown, right? We see this theme in the scripture. But we see that it's the seed that falls on the soil is the one that produces 100 times what was sown. You know, it makes you think, if you sacrifice for God, is it even a sacrifice at all if you're getting back 100 times what you gave? Mm. Right? Right? With God, the other side of sacrifice is 100 times what you've sown. You know, a seed that produces 100 times sown is pretty much unheard of in the farming world. I mean, imagine an apple tree with 100 apples on the branches. I mean, the branches would just be weighed down by the fruit, right? And I think that's a good picture of what God wants to do with your life, right? He wants to give you and bless you with 100 times the fruit so that your branches are weighed down by the good fruit of your life. He wants you to experience life as it was meant to be lived. Seeds are meant to die. In John 12, the idea is that your life is the seed, right? And you sow your own life. In Galatians 6, 7 through 10, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Right. You know, it's just so simple. It makes sense, right? What you sow, that's what you'll reap, right? What you plant is what you get. Right? Has anyone ever planted an apple tree and got corn? I mean, tell me, let me know if you do. That's awesome. But, you know, Jesus is saying, your time on earth is planting season. This is seed planting time. When you plant here determines what you will reap as a result of your life. It also says that God cannot be mocked, right? We know what it means to be mocked, right? To be fooled. And you especially know this if you have some older siblings, I'm sure. I have two older brothers, trust me. But, you know, it says God won't be fooled. You know, it reminds me of when I was sharing faith that semester. You know, on the outside, I looked good. You know, I looked good to people. I looked spiritual. But on the inside, God saw my intent. You know, I couldn't fool him. You know, we can't fool God. We can't sin and think that we're also simultaneously pleasing God. You can't sow to please your flesh and think that God is pleased. You know, you will reap what you sow. If you sow love, you will reap a loving life. If you sow to please the flesh, well, you'll know. You know what you'll reap. You know, if you sow to service, if you sow sacrifice, you will reap greatness. But if you're too focused on the worries of this world, on money, you'll miss the life that Jesus is talking about. Those people fall into a tragedy, you know, but it's through love that comes the fruit of the Spirit. It's through love that comes joy and peace and patience. And then you think about, that's what the world is after, right? Think about how much money the world spends on trying to get the fruits of the Spirit, right? Plant seeds of love, because love is the true wealth of life. You know, one thing you'll never regret in life is loving someone. And in verse 9, it says, keep going, right? It says, keep on giving. Keep on sowing your life. Keep on planting seeds. For at just the right time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. And that's the promise that God gives us, right? And he says, hey, don't give up and you will reap something amazing. After that one semester I shared about before was the fall of 2023. And, you know, recognizing my mistakes from last year, or from 2 years ago now, I decided that I was going to set the same goal again. And so I went out for it. And I decided that, you know, this time to go in with a different mindset. I remember I went to God just humbled. I was like, you know, God, like, I'm not going to do this again if I make it about me. You know, if I'm going to do this, it's going to be because of you. And I remember I went out there and, you know, instead of trying to, like, tell as many people as I can what number I was at, I just, like, didn't say anything. And I just kept it to myself between me and God. And, you know, I said, like, to God, like, I'm sorry what I made it about. I made it about me, but it is all about you. I saw that if I was going to produce an impact, it would be because I got out of the way. It would be because I died. It would be because I fell to the ground. And John 15, it says, apart from me, you could do nothing. Right? Sometimes I think, you know, apart from God, surely I could do something. Right? But no. No, it's unless the seed falls, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many. Out of these 1,000 people, I got to see 2 of them make Jesus the Lord of their life. Their names were Eric and AB. In that year, which was, you know, last year in 2023, the campus ministry doubled in size. We saw 15 people make Jesus the Lord of their life. And it's not, you know, it's not 100 times the amount of disciples, but, you know, those two are worth 100 times to me. You know, AB was one of those guys, and he became my partner in the gospel. You know, that guy I do studies with. AB has made it his ambition that by the time he leaves Montclair State, that all 20,000 students will be invited to hear the message of the gospel. That's 20,000 times what was sown. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But if AB continues to fall to the ground, I have no doubt he'll see that happen. You know, don't give up on planting seeds.
That's right.
Keep sowing your life, and you will reap a harvest of 100 times what was sown. It's the amazing paradox that if giving yourselves to God, and if you keep giving yourselves to God and to those around us, we will produce something amazing. And you know, it's just simple. It just makes sense. And if you look around, look how many trees that you see, right? Every one of these trees started as just a seed.
Right.
And when a group of them died, it became a forest. And as a church, if we collectively decide that we will fall to the ground and die, we will become a greater forest that could spread through the world and set this world right for God. But to come in for a landing here, you know, we're going to have a time of communion. And so if you don't have a communion cup, you can raise your hand and someone will come and grab you one. But, you know, there's one more paradox that Jesus gives in this passage. There's one more that Jesus puts in there quick. In verse 23, he says, "The Son of Man will be glorified." To the Jews and the people of the world, glorified meant conquest. You know, it meant an earthly king. You know, it meant a kingdom, a ruler, riches. But to Jesus, glorified meant crucified. Jesus came to the Jews with a new view of life. To him, it was the conquest of the cross. And how that through the cross and through his death, that he would produce many seeds and many opportunities for people to come to him. He taught that only by death comes life. But, you know, in order for us to have a right relationship with God, Jesus, the first seed, needed to die so that he could provide salvation for the multitudes to come. And just like how our sacrifice is always worth it for God, Jesus saw his sacrifice as completely worth it for you. Jesus thought that heaven without you would be more painful than it was to go to the cross. And as you take communion today, think about the life and the death of Jesus and how that has allowed you to reap a harvest of 100 times what was sown. Let's pray. Dear God, man, thank you so much. God, there's no words to say what I'm feeling and to say just what I've seen you do in my life. And the seed that fell to the ground and died was you. And you produced a harvest of 100 times what was sown. And that wouldn't be possible. God, salvation wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for you. You are the seed that died that made this all possible for each of us to know each other and to become a church and to so that we can now replicate you. But God, we love you. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.